Learn from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a story told about a hunter and his big old dog. Now, once upon a time, this dog was young and vital and strong and a real help on the hunt. But that was years ago. Now the dog was old and fat and lazy and mostly just slept. So the hunter concluded that the dog was more of a hindrance than a help. And he decided to do in the old dog. Put the dog in the boat, rowed out to the middle of the lake, and then he stood up and attempted to oust the dog, to push the big dog overboard and into the water where he was certain he would quickly drown. But as the hunter was trying to oust the big old dog, the hunter lost his balance and fell into the water. And the hunter couldn't swim, not a stroke. So there he was in the water, and he was splashing and flailing about, and the dog jumped into the water, and the dog swam over to him and put his big teeth into the back of the hunter's jacket, and the dog began swimming toward the shore, pulling the hunter behind him. Pretty soon, both the hunter and the dog were safe on shore. Funny how it all turned out. The hunter thought he was killing the dog, but the dog ended up saving the life of the hunter. It kind of worked that way with Jesus. Sinners thought they were killing Jesus, but actually Jesus was saving sinners. It's the ironic twist to the story, the surprise, the miracle that we celebrate at Easter. What looked like defeat was actually a victory. Not only for Jesus, because he was dead and now he's alive, but also a victory for us. That's what we celebrate. We continue today that Easter joy, that Easter celebration, that celebration of that ironic twist, the celebration of that victory. Our text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It reads, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah. Easter is a celebration of victory for Christ and for us. Hear the words of our text again. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Easter is a victory celebration, but a victory of what, you might ask? Well, first of all, it's a victory of forgiveness. A victory over sin and guilt. Now, I realize, I really do, that sin is not a popular topic anymore. Sin is hardly mentioned anymore, even in a lot of churches. The very word sin is just, well, not politically correct. Kind of a downer. There's a lot of negativity associated with the whole thing. And so we're really not comfortable with it. We'd really like to abandon that whole idea and replace it with something that's more inclusive, something with a lot more positivity about it, something maybe like, I'm okay and you're okay. We'd like to displace the whole idea of sin. But it's frankly hard to do. I mean, just a casual look at the morning newspaper will convince you that things are broke. I mean, this is not the way it's supposed to be, is it? This is not what God wants. It's not even what we want. Things are broke. We're missing the mark. And this is not only true in a collective, you know, sort of general sense of the world, It's also true in a very personal sense, an individual sense of me. And those times when I look in a mirror, and those admittedly rare times when I'm perfectly honest with myself, well, then it's unavoidable. I'm not what I should be. I'm not what God calls me to be. I'm not what God wants me to be. I'm not even who I want me to be. I'm missing the mark. Missing the mark. That's the very definition of the word sin. The word in Greek, the language of the New Testament, literally means to miss the mark. In those ancient Olympic games, if an archer missed the bullseye, he was said to sin. He missed the mark. Well, we miss the mark. We miss the mark collectively. We miss the mark personally. We miss the mark a lot. And that means sin. Sin is real. It's everywhere. It has a way of messing things up. And it has some very real consequences, including one particularly big one. The Bible says the result of sin is death. That's a biggie. But, the Bible says, oh death, where is your sting? The sting is sin. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus taking the sting of sin, bringing to us forgiveness. The story told of a father and son were driving in the car out on this country road, and all of a sudden this bee came flying in the window. And the boy began to panic. He became extremely frightened because he was very allergic to bee stings. If that bee would sting him, he quite literally could die. So the father slowed down and kind of had one eye on the road and the other eye on the bee. And at just the right moment, he reached out his hand and caught that bee. And held the bee firmly in the palm of his hand until he could feel the sting entering his own flesh. And then he let the bee go. And he said to his son, don't be afraid. The bee can no longer harm you. Its sting has been removed. Well, Jesus took the sting of sin for us in his very own flesh on the cross of Calvary, bringing to us forgiveness. Our text says, where is your sting? The sting of sin, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first Easter victory. Christ has saved us from sin. It's the victory of forgiveness. But we're not done. Because there's a second victory, too, just as important, and it's the victory of life. Victory of life. As sin leads to death, so forgiveness leads to life. Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. A few verses before our text, we read, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first of all of those who have died. For as by a man came death, so by a man comes life. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ are all made alive. As sin leads to death, so forgiveness leads to life. Now, yes, it's true. With Christ, we too will someday die. I'm sorry, there's no way to get around that truth. But also with Christ, we too will someday live. In fact, better than before. Dr. Faraday was a famous English physicist, best known for the invention of the electric motor and the electric generator. Well, anyway, there's a story about Dr. Faraday. It seems that one day, working in the lab, one of his assistants, quite altogether by accident, bumped the shelf. And on the shelf, there was a golden goblet. And as a result of this, the goblet fell into a vat of acid. It served as a battery. Quickly disintegrated. The assistant felt terrible, felt horrible. He immediately went to Dr. Faraday and confessed what he had done and profusely apologized. But kind of to his surprise, Dr. Faraday didn't seem particularly upset. In fact, Dr. Faraday smiled at him and put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Nothing's been lost." Dr. Faraday added some chemicals to the acid that caused the gold to separate out and sink to the bottom. Then rather carefully siphoned off the acid until he was left with just nuggets of 100% pure gold. In some ways, more valuable than before, because all the impurities had been removed in the process. Death is certainly tragic, and it certainly brings sorrow to those who are left behind. But nothing has been lost. Not when Christ is added to the situation. Not when the Easter gospel is applied to all this. Jesus said, "For in Christ shall all be made alive." Christ is risen from the dead, the first of all those who trust in him. That's the second Easter victory. Christ has separated us from the tyranny of death and has given to us life, an abundant life here, an eternal life hereafter, is the victory of life. But we're still alive. Because there is a third victory. Not only the victory of forgiveness and the victory of life, but also the victory of hope. Hope. That's true. Easter does not make everything rosy. Life after Easter is not one big cruise on the good ship Lollipop. No, we continue to live in a fallen, broken, dysfunctional world. A world where evil happens, and sometimes it happens to us. But here's what's different. Easter means that that reality need not crush us like a bug. That reality need not suck us in like a black hole, because we live our lives in this world hand in hand with the risen, victorious, loving, conquering Easter Christ. And that makes all the difference in the world. Romans chapter 8 reads, "We are more than victors through Christ who loves us. For I am certain that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus." We have that victory, more than conquerors. Louisa Perini was born in Torrance, California in 1917, the son of working-class Italian immigrants. And Louisa Perini is famous for two completely different things. First of all, he's famous as an Olympic champion. He overcame incredible odds, enormous obstacles, to become a medalist at the 1936 Berlin Olympics, sometimes known as the Hitler Games. It's a stunning story in and of itself. But Louisa Perini is even more famous for something completely different. A few days after Pearl Harbor, Louisa Perini volunteered for the Army Air Corps, and he was signed to the Pacific Theater. One day, the Army airplane in which he was simply a passenger lost power and crashed into the Pacific Ocean. A miracle that he survived at all. He did, and he even managed to climb into a life raft, although one devoid of any supplies. And there he remained for 47 days. 47 days floating around in the Pacific in that tiny little life raft. It was then, it remains today, the world's record for the longest anyone has ever survived in a life raft. And how he did so is nothing less than a miracle. But after 47 days, he heard an airplane. And he was filled with joy. He was filled with anxious anticipation because if he could get the attention of that pilot, perhaps he would be saved and rescued at long last. So he gathered up all his remaining strength and he stood up and he yelled and he screamed and he waved, trying desperately to get the attention of that pilot. And he did. He did. Only he wasn't American. He was Japanese. He was soon picked up by the Japanese Navy and placed into a Japanese POW camp under conditions that could only be described worse than horrific. And there he remained for 2 years, outliving a lot of his other people in prison who couldn't survive. A few days after those two bombs were dropped, Luisa Perini was rescued by the Americans. And from 1945 until his death in 2014 at the age of 97, Luisa Perini was a preacher of the gospel. Never officially ordained, but a preacher nonetheless. And every sermon he preached was an Easter sermon. A sermon about hope. About courage, about strength, about living with the resurrected, powerful, loving Christ. He would emphasize how that Easter risen Christ was with him on that track in Berlin, and even more with him during those 47 days in that life raft, and even more with him during those 2 years in that prison camp. And indeed, all the rest of the days of all the rest of his life, and ours too. There, giving us strength and hope and courage, not in lieu of the storm, but in the midst of the storm. It's the victory of hope. Jesus said, "I am with you always. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," King David wrote, "I fear nothing, for you, Lord, are with me." On Easter Sunday, throughout all the Sundays of the season of Easter, and in fact, every Sunday, because every Sunday is a little Easter, there is reason for joy. There is reason for celebration. It all boils down to Easter and that Eastern victory. The victory of forgiveness, victory of life, victory of hope. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and minds.